is to spin or twirl around. You just rejoiced in the Lord because you were able to somewhat interesting twirls. And so praise God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, you got to get excited this morning because we're in church. This is not a funeral service.
Right.
Even though our funeral services are pretty exciting, okay? See, we got one child crying unto the Lord. Praise God, yes. Somebody give me, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Give me another one, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, we should be the most excited people on earth.
Amen.
And as we've come to church, it's a celebration. Yes, we're thankful, but we're not religious. We're not traditional. So if I stepped on your comfort zone, that's a good thing because I think we should be the most excited, encouraged people on earth, let alone that we live in America. Amen?
Amen.
So last week I talked to you about there was four elements that Jesus gave us to keep us growing, but also to maintain this place so that we never have to lose being excited and blessed. We know what Peter said. He says that the Lord called us chosen, special, peculiar, created to show his glory, giving us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Jesus, before he transitioned, told us that he came for one main reason. Now, we celebrated the death of Christ, but he came to give us Zoe life.
Yes.
Zoe life is life big time. It's exciting. So, everybody smile at Pastor. We're all here to be excited. All you on Facebook, praise God. We're excited to be here today in Jesus' name. And I know you got your Bibles, right? Because you're being students of the Word. Yes, let me see those Bibles. All right. And you got your pen and pencil because you're studying. You're not just coming to put in the time. You're growing and you're getting stronger. You're no longer children tossed to and fro. Still doing the same things you did when you got saved. No, we've got a lot of that nonsense out. We don't have to cuss and swear and be mean-spirited. That was the child in us that got set free. Amen. So, you're looking at where I left last week. I just want to tap in so you're all on the same page. And I'm looking at that brand new bunch of Christians. There was 3,000 of them, the upper room. They just experienced something they never experienced before. It looked like everybody was drunk. All they were was baptized and immersed and saturated with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And because of that, they weren't worrying about being proper. And people sit back. There was a proper bunch here. Oh my gosh, what is this? They must be drunk. But we know they were only drunk in the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Yeah.
So they get together and they preach. 3,000 are at it. And Jesus said, if you'll stay in the Word, if you'll stay in fellowship, if you'll stay having communion, which was excellent, Andy, communion, rightly looking at our brothers and sisters and realizing they're just as important as we are.
Yeah.
And they were praying and praising God. And because of that, it goes on in Chapter 2, and it says, they all were together. We're all together. You're here today. They had all things in common. In other words, they were having fellowship. And I told you, fellowship, they were cemented to God and to one another, which means it wasn't easy to separate them. And it goes on, it says, they did this daily. They stayed in one accord in the church. And they continuously broke bread, like we did here, from house to house. They weren't complaining. All they were doing was twirling or rejoicing. And because of this, the Bible says God was really pleased. And I ended it last week by saying pleased means this. When you have your children, you're growing up, when they do bad things, you still love them. You don't give up on them. But when they do the things that you've laid out to them to give them freely, to do what's right, and they do it, there's a big smile that gets on mom and daddy's face. When pastor sees people that take these tools and they learn the word and they begin to break out of this traditional of lackadaisical, it makes us smile. That's all the Father's doing. He's pleased. And because of that, it says he added to the church people getting saved. Yeah. Amen? And that's where we left you, at this particular place. This day, I want to talk about how all four of these areas that are so significant to keep them alive and well and operating in your life are set in place by one powerful source that we all freely got when we got saved. And so if you look on your sheet, you'll see that I put plugged in and loving it. It's not just being plugged into where we're going today, but we're plugged in and we're loving it. We're enjoying our life on earth just as if we're in heaven, because heaven has come to earth and we get to fulfill this. So, the key that the Lord gave us was all these four areas will help us maintain our excitement in God. But there's a key element that we can't forget. We have to stay plugged in to the power source. And that's why Jesus told in the transitional scriptures, he says, you're getting ready to birth the New Testament church. He says, don't do anything until you go and gather, because I'm about to release the ghost. And this ghost that's been with you, because he lived in Jesus, is not only just going to be with you, it's going to be where? In you. And this ghost is never going to leave you, and he is going to bring the whole kingdom of heaven when he comes. If that is so, and I believe as believers you believe that, then don't we have to stay plugged into him?
Yes.
I was thinking last week when I shared this card in high school, I'm going to go to something current. I got this new motorcycle this last year. It's a Harley Davidson. It's a tri-glide. It's got all the bells and whistles. It is really freeing, exciting. There's nothing more freeing than being on the open road. My wife will tell you the same thing. We smell all the spring flowers or the fall harvesting. You get to see everything around you. People say, well, oh, you're crazy. You're not wearing a helmet. You don't put on and try to close off this freedom. You are trusting the Lord and enjoying this great dimension. But let me just tell you, the Lord says he gives us the ghost, the Holy Ghost that'll never leave us nor forsake us. You that don't drive may not understand this, but almost all your current vehicles have what they call a fob. It's a mechanism that you keep on yourself, so that nobody can start your vehicle without it but you. Do you know that Jesus gave us the Holy Ghost? And nobody can get you to go and to be excited that doesn't have the fob that was specifically given to you?
Amen.
Do you know that his purpose is that you ride this ride of Christendom and enjoy life and have all the benefits of it? But you know what? I have gone out mistakenly before without my fob. And I've sit there and looked at my bike and I thought, my gosh, beautiful bike. I want to have an enjoyable ride, but what is wrong with you? Is my battery dead? Did I not do something? Until I come to my senses, I don't have my fob on me. And then I smile because it gets me back to stay connected. I'm saying unless we stay connected to the Holy Ghost, he'll never leave us. Do you know that this bike is beautiful and as powerful as it is? I have everything I need in that. But if I don't have the fob to stay connected to the one that's the power source that releases the power, I'm not going anywhere. And in Christendom, this is what happens. We get a message like last week. Yeah, Pastor, I want to pray and praise. I want to stay in the Word. I want to have fellowship. But we disconnect from the power source. And we wonder why it's not working and why I look at others. Why are they happy? Why, as Pastor says, why are so many Christians dealing with depression? When the Lord says, I give you life and life more abundantly, could it be? Nobody is going to force you to stay connected.
Yep, that's right.
Let me give you another little illustration the Lord gave me. In the winter season, I don't ride my bike. But I want that bike to stay powerfully available. So I got this little mechanism called a trickle charger that I plug it into my bike. I plug it into the wall, and it keeps it strong. It keeps that battery ready. That anytime, I'm telling you what, we've got a trickle charger. It's called, the Bible says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. The Bible says in Ephesians, put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. But he says, when you've got all the parts that represent the parts of the Lord, he says, and praying on every occasion, in every season, in the Ghost.
Yes, sir.
So in other words, this that God gave us needs to do the four elements to keep ourselves stable, but we have the control mechanism that has to stay connected to the power source because it's the power of God. Why do you think that the early believers in the wilderness did only get manna for a day? Because the Lord, through the power of the Holy Ghost, wanted them to trust Him every day. Why did the brand new Christians stay connected together? Because the Lord wanted you to stay powerfully connected every day. And the most discouraging part of watching Christians is when they disconnect because they got their feelings hurt or something they got hurt with, and they disconnect themselves not only from God, but they disconnect themselves with believers. And then they wonder as time goes on, why am I back doing the same stuff, the same junk I did years ago? Because you've disconnected from the power source.
Amen.
He gives us, come on now, somebody say yes. We're excited people. This isn't a pastor thing. This is a God-filled thing. That's us. You got your fobs on? You've been praying unceasingly in the Holy Ghost? Let me give you an element because I know we've added some people. We are also a charismatic, spirit-filled, Pentecostal church. Which means we don't think any of the New Testament gifts that were given disappeared when the last apostle died. So we got the same power that they got on the day of Pentecost. And if it's scary because I knew some Pentecostals, but were they always on fire and loving a God? Oh, they were depressed. They wore these things that you could hardly big buns on their head. I said, you're not talking about those that are staying filled with the Holy Ghost. You're talking about religion. Religion puts you in a box that you fill in case. I'm telling you that we are the freest people on earth, and we need to stay excited. If religion has you in a box, get out of it. Break out of it. And if you didn't know you were in a full gospel, I remember hearing, oh, Pastor, oh, man, when people get baptized in the Holy Ghost, they get so excited. We need to put them in a back room until they calm down. So they become lethargic, and they become cold, and they have no power to be excited and to convey that to others. I'm saying loose the Holy Ghost to keep people free. And if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Ghost, I'm going to tell you something. When you get saved, you get the Holy Ghost. But there is a difference between getting the Holy Ghost that will never leave you and being baptized in the Holy Ghost. When you're baptized, it's kind of like this. I can drink 2 gallons of water, and I'm full of water. It's good stuff. It's going to do things to my body. But when I jump into the lake, I'm baptized. It's not just on me. It's getting off me, and it's wetting and splashing upon those around me. That's what we need. This move of God isn't going to be in the closet Christian mentality. It's going to be getting out of the box and showing that excitement and keeping your battery charged. I pray in the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, all the time to keep my battery charged. I don't know what I'm going to do in situations, but He does. And he says, I'm going to give you a source that will keep your batteries charged. Go with me, if you would, to Romans. We're in the New Testament. This is us. Romans chapter 8. Look at what Paul went to the Christians in Rome. Chapter 8. Now, yours may have, I got the New King James, but I'm going to look at the section starting at verse 12. It talks about, I don't think I started you that early when I gave you the briefing, but you need this. Come on now, stay excited with me. This is you. We all realize we're all full-time what? God doesn't love one more than another. As we've grown up, we appreciate Christians in all different works because we realize not everybody wants to come to a place where a pastor's jumping up and down and going nutsy, cuckoo. It's okay. I realize not everybody's going to be comfortable here, but I'm not going to let myself get watered down. And I'm trying to keep you from being watered down. And I'm trying to get some kick in your walk. And when you're not feeling like this is a good day, go and charge up your battery and start praying in the Holy Ghost. And build up your most holy faith. Gosh. If you don't have that experience, what you waiting for? It doesn't get you to heaven. You're already in heaven if Jesus is your Lord. But it does keep you filled. And it keeps you sensitive to what he wants you to have. People go through life. I meet people. Why are you guys always excited? In fact, I'm not going to mention this denomination. We went up and we were getting people to get involved in running for township positions in our case, but getting them involved instead of complaining, running for public office. And we'd be around this particular denomination group. And he says, Kathy Weldon, we got to be honest with you two. Our church is praying for the power. You guys live it. And when you get in a box, you don't even realize you're in a box until you get free. I can't explain with a feel riding a motorcycle through the country and seeing nature and everything. And I'm not going to try to, but I'm telling you, I am not going to settle. I am not going to not stay excited and on fire. I love my life. I love what God has given me, but I have to keep my battery charged because many are the sufferings that we go through. But the Lord, I know, is going to deliver us. In fact, we're at Romans 8 now. It says, therefore, believers, you're not debtors to go back to your flesh and to live that way. Look at me. Every carnal Christian is content to just be saved. And they end up going back to where they came. Does that nullify what happened? No, it doesn't. But you ain't going to stay on fire and you're not going to stay drunk in the Holy Ghost if you're going to go back and do the junk that's going to take away your walk. So it says, so as many, 14, as many of you that will be led by the Ghost, you are the sons of God and daughters. Verse 15 says, you did not receive this for bondage. Folks, if the church should get a hold of that, don't get saved and go back into bondage. Don't go back into religion. And please, don't associate any denomination because there are free people in every particular work. But there is a spirit behind religion that smothers people. And we wonder why they're not excited and why life is such a drain. If you're the children, that's us, we're heirs. Heirs according to Christ. We're suffering with him. We're going to be glorified with him. Verse 18. I consider not the sufferings of this time to be worthy to be compared with the manifested presence that's being revealed in us. Whenever I go and PK and I go through a real tough time, we have to build up each other, praying in the Holy Ghost. We have to focus on, we're not only going to go through the valley of the shadow, but we're going to come out on the other side. Yeah. And we are not going to give up our peace or our joy to anybody that's going to try and take it. We're going to stay excited and on fire for God. I am blessed that I got a woman of God that loves. We come in and we're shouting through the ceilings into worship because we're so already getting into it even before we come in. Before I go back prayer, I'm already high as a kite. Why? Because I've supercharged my spirit. I'm not going to let it run on just getting by. Because you know, you put your heart on acceleration or alternate current, it may keep the lights and all the toys in your vehicle going pretty good for a while. But after a while, after a while, brothers and sisters, did the Lord leave you? Nope, you still got that powerful vehicle. But why is it? Because you didn't keep your battery charged. You're running, you're hanging with the wrong group, you're hanging with the doubt and outers, you're hanging with ones that don't have the truth, and the Lord is trying to get you connected to someone. Come on, get plugged back in. Come on, pray a little bit in the Holy Ghost. It's not for someone else's benefits, it's for you. Why? Because the Lord wants you to be excited.
Amen, Pastor.
Gosh. So, nothing going to be compared. 19, for the earnest expectation of creation itself is waiting for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. All creation's waiting for us. I got a hot flash for you. If you're getting caught up, a hot point. I can't get away with anything, Pastor Mike. Lord, get his mind out of the gutter. No. If you really want to see creation, protect it. If you really are worrying about the whales or you're worrying about whether or not global is going to wipe us out, you need to get into the scripture and realize all creation is waiting for believers to take authority. Not a government, but believers to take authority. And to bind the God of this world. The Lord has promised us. He said, until I return, there will always be seed time and harvest. Take that to the bank.
Amen.
We are not going to burn up or whatever. Doesn't mean we have to be stupid, but no country's doing what we're doing. We're doing it the best of any nation. I'm telling you, rest assured, this is what's going to set people free. This is going to save our environment because all creation has been waiting for the plugged in, turned on men and women of God to take back what already belongs to us. Because it was created for our pleasure. Creation itself is going to be delivered by these children of God. For we know all of creation is groaning and laboring with birth pains until now. And not only that, but all of us that are the first fruits of the ghost, even ourselves, we're groaning. Verse 26, likewise, the Holy Ghost, yours may say Spirit, capital S. This is the big one. It's in us. It's God. Helps us in our weaknesses. Look at me, church. What did Jesus say before he departed in John chapter 14? I think I even gave you that. It's important that I go away because if I go away, I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost. And when he comes, he's going to remind you of the things that I've said. He's not going to speak on his own behalf. He's going to speak on what I'm telling him, and I'm telling him what I see the Father do, so we get Father, Son, Holy Ghost. It's the unbeatable team that we get by this God that he gave us called the Holy Ghost. And we can help keep ourselves charged by, got the armor on, Ephesians 6:18, praying always in every occasion in the Spirit. Don't you dare, church, back away when someone says, oh, you're one of those Pentecostal groups. Yeah, we are, and we love all brothers and sisters. We do not say we're up here and they're down here, or if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues, you don't make it to heaven. Ridiculous, stupid, religious. But it is meaningful to a believer that stays on fire and stays stirred, that they keep that motor going. You know yourself. Come on, believers, you've been saved long enough. You know people that are on fire, and you know people that just go through the motions. I'm challenging you all to be those that stay on fire. Because that's what people need, the fire of God. Stay with me. We do not, it says in 26, the ghost in us helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we should pray for as we ought. What did I just say? Death and life is where? In our tongue. It just says your tongue in your natural dialect is not always going to know what to pray for. It says, but the ghost himself will make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. If you look down, I've got the study guide. In other words, this Holy Ghost in us, as we turn and we build up this charging mechanism, we are praying things that we may not understand, but we're praying perfect because the Bible goes that. He says, the ghost searches your heart. He knows the mind of the ghost. He makes intercession according to the will of God. The will of God is the what? The Word of God. So when you shift into this, firing up this Holy Ghost in you, you are praying perfect Word. Who do you think doesn't want you to pray perfect Word? The Bible says the Lord stands over His Word, ready to perform it. Who doesn't want the Word to come after? It's not the good guys. It's the bad guys. We know all things. Well, here's Ruthie's favorite scripture. We know all things that work to good as long as we do it His way. Those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Go with me to 2 Timothy. I'm going to show you something the Lord revealed to me that will tie this and why this is so important that you stay connected to the Holy Ghost and that you don't always know how to pray for. Unless you're Jesus, there are situations that come in. I don't know how to pray for this, but I know the Holy Ghost does. I shift over into Him and He prays perfectly through me. This is what it says, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to show you something. Please stay with me because I don't want you to think I'm in some kind of who knows what. Verse 16 says this, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Yep. Stay right there with me, church. This is how the Holy Ghost showed me this years ago. All of this Word is not all the time inspired. But when it is a singular present tense verb. When it is given to you, it's inspired. All of this was given by inspiration, but it's not all at all times inspired, or else we would not have to trust the Holy Ghost. But when it is given. So, if when it is given, it's inspired, don't we want the Word would be important at this point in time? When you don't know how to pray as you ought, and I don't know how to pray as I ought, and it says now if we shift into the Holy Ghost, we're going to pray the will of God. If He's given it, it's inspired. If it's inspired, it's the inspiration of the Ghost that breaks every yoke. Now listen, stay with me. It's good for doctrine, there's your word, reproof, correction, instructions in right living. Verse 17, here you go. As it is given to help you out of your situation, it's inspired. That the mighty, and I'm going to put mighty man or woman of God will be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. In other words, when it is given to us, it's inspired, and it will be used to rebuke, reprove, set us free, and grow us up, and keep us on fire. I don't want to just do something to do something. So, well, I just know the scripture, lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. That's great. That's a good scripture. But if it's not inspired at the moment, you're just going to rub someone's hair off their head. Seriously, people get into a real religious, well, I've always done this and it worked. Well, did it work every time? No. Well, is God's word not inspired? Do you know that if we'd be as sensitized as Jesus, he did nothing that he didn't see who? The Father do. If we were as sensitized as Jesus was, it'd work every time. But what's happened, we've gotten religious. Well, I know this scripture. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And then they don't recover. And we wonder who's missing it. See, do you understand? We got to stay connected. It's not the Lord that's missing. And he's not trying to punish us. He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. But we've got to connect. We've got to keep plugged in. And being plugged in, life is fun. And exciting, even when you go through the trials of life. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. You know, Pastor Mike, I'm almost, you know, I always said James was my favorite book, but you know why I'm falling in love with Corinthians? Because they are a carnal bunch of believers. And I'm thinking there's so much we can glean, because I'm telling you what, American Christians remind me a lot of the Corinthian church. Always trying to go back and get circumcised, go back to the law, and let's see if I do with it, and get religious instead of enjoying your freedom. When the Son makes you free, you're free. You should be the freest people. You should be so excited. You should get up and talk to my wife. Now, we got to be careful we don't wake each other up, because we get up early. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I'm up and I'm ready to be used. Come on now. It's not a dull thing. It's an exciting thing. Don't let it get dull. Don't let it not be exciting. New Testament church, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The Bible says this, chapter 14, and I'm going to go through a number of these scriptures, but I'm going to try to encourage you to keep your motor charged, keep your batteries charged, stay plugged in. Now, I could use a circular saw, and I could show you in the most beautiful, powerful circular saw, but unless I plugged it in, it's just a beautiful circular saw with nothing going on. I plug that baby into the power source. Boom! Or nowadays, you got all these mechanisms, you charge them up. If I use this circular saw that, you know, has its own battery, they don't run as long. And after that battery runs low, it don't run. When you disconnect from the things of God, God doesn't ever leave us or forsake us, and the Holy Ghost doesn't leave your life. He's there. He's in you. You've seen me do this. Oh, he's sitting there waiting for you to say something. The Lord stands over his word ready to perform it. And the Holy Ghost, now I'm still up there, but the Holy Ghost goes, I'm looking for something to do. And then all of a sudden, someone says and starts praying in the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden the ghost gets up. All right, I've got something to carry out. He's waiting to carry out. He's given us this nation as our inheritance. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Let's get back on board. Start making a difference. Start staying on top of the issues of life and not getting taken out. And challenge some of you that's been slack and you're praying in the Holy Ghost. Here you go. You slackers. Chapter 14, verse 4 says, if you speak in tongues, you build yourself up. Does anybody need to stay built up? Yes. That's right. Now, you can go down and say prophesy. I know for the church, but I'm talking about when you're not in church and you need to stay encouraged. When you pray in tongues, it builds you up. Yes. Stay with me. Paul says this to this very carnal church. I wish you all spoke in tongues even more. And he tells them, at least keep prophesying, because you understand that in church. And then he goes on, he says what it's for, but I'm going to go down to verse 12. Since you are zealous for spiritual gifts to build up your church, the church needs to be built up.
Yes, it does.
And we need everybody on board.
Amen.
So the carnal Christian said, what should we do? And Paul said this, pray in tongues. Your spirit prays. Pray in the understanding, and your mind gets touched. What shall I do? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding. I will pray in the Spirit. I will sing in the Spirit. I will sing in the understanding. Now again, when we pray or when we sing in the Spirit, who gets built up? We do. And I'm telling you, the church needs to be built up. When we first got filled with the Holy Ghost back at 24 and 25 years young, we still pray up in the Holy Ghost. And there were teachings that hit, oh my gosh, the miracles that happen if you keep praying in the Holy Ghost. People, well, did that, didn't get the results I wanted. You don't cause the results, He does. The results come from doing what we, our part, He has the harder part. I don't heal anybody. I don't save anybody. But I am going to do what the Lord says to do, and I want to be some of those that people want to be like, that are excited and enjoying being a Christian and not being some kind of sour paste, face, depressed, sad. Come on now, church, we got everything we need. We just got to stay plugged in.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Preach it.
Pray, and verse 18 says, I thank my God. Here you go, people say, oh, you shouldn't pray in tongues. That was done away with when the last apostle died. Not my God.
Amen.
He gave me everything that pertained to life and godliness, and He didn't favor the apostles over me.
Nope.
He's no respecter of persons. He says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you. In church, I will speak that what you understand. Than 1,000 words in tongues. Because He's not in a church setting. He's trying to build the church up now. When we're alone, you got to stay on fire. You got to stay stirred. And when you try to figure it out with your head, you know what faith is? Faith is trusting and believing what God said when you can't see it, hear it, taste it, touch it.
Amen.
And you know there are many times in a Christian's walk that you don't see it, hear it. And that's why we got to build up our faith.
Amen.
Jude 20. I don't even know if I gave you that in your notes. This is Jude saying this. Build up your most holy faith by praying in the Ghost. Now let me just tell you something. The Lord showed it this way to me. Romans 10:17 says faith only comes one way. Faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
And hearing the what?
Word.
So faith only comes by hearing the Word. And I build up my most holy faith by praying in my prayer language. I'm praying perfect Word. And that's why we don't know how to pray as we ought, Romans 8. But the Spirit inside us knows the situation. And when we yield to Him, now we're trusting God and not ourselves. See, there's so much, church, that we can accomplish and do. And it's not just, gosh, you guys, I look around, you're already all saved. And if remember when I asked those four questions, do you come to church because it's the right thing to do? And I said, it's no right answer. And there were some of you raised your hands. It is the right thing to come to church. That's good. You know, you get to be with believers. And I said, the other thing, stay in the Word of God. Yeah, it is good to stay in the Word of God. Is it good to pray and praise? Yeah, it's good. But I'm telling you, iron sharpeneth iron. And the biggest growth and strength of a church is going to be the relationships that are built within that body. Because in order to have a good relationship, you got to be cemented to God, and you learn how to get cemented to others. And I'm telling you, and I'm not going to go here because I'm going to wrap up. People get caught up loving their biological kids. And they have a harder time loving the spiritual kids. I'm telling you, God sees us all as spiritual kids.
Yep.
You have a responsibility, moms and dads, to train up kids until they get accountability. But you never are to retire. Our older ladies are to train up the younger ones. Teach them how to love their husbands. Show them how to do what's right. Men, Paul says, you got 10,000 boy leaders, but you don't have many fathers. I'm challenging the fathers to stand up. And be excited, men of God, that will set priorities. Priority is God and my body.
Amen.
And everything else has to fall into place. Why? Because I want to stay plugged in. I want to stay excited. I want to stay stirred. And all those other things may be entertaining, but I'm telling you, they're not going to fulfill your life as staying plugged into Him. And someone says, oh, I'm plugged in with Him. I don't need the body. I'm calling you a liar. Because John says, the beloved says, if you say you love me and you don't love the body, he says you're a liar. And we're going to be made known to the world by the what? Love we have one for another. You can't love God if you don't love his body, because he's the head, we're the parts. And the parts have to be loved on, and people stay away from the parts and they wonder why they go, why? A wacky. I make up words. Who cares? But I'm having a good time doing it. Jennifer, I wasn't this way in school, was I? I said most of the words right, right? Amen. So we should leave with one thing in mind. I love my life.
Amen.
I love my church. I'm going to stay plugged in. And if you're not, if you've not been prayed, receive your Holy Ghost, you don't have to strive. You don't have to jump through a bunch of hoops. Most people don't know that when you get saved, you get the Holy Ghost. And when you get the Holy Ghost, you got all the gifts. I've run into so many people. I have one motorcycle. I'll finish with this story. My wife and I are going down to a meeting down in Troy. This huge, muscular, black leather outfit pulls in on a Harley into the restaurant. We're sitting at a table. He pulls up right beside our little Citation we had at the time. And I thought, oh, wow, dude, looking like a tough dude. He comes in, and as he passes me, it says on the back, "Riding for Jesus." I thought, oh, cool. So I struck up a conversation. He ends up sitting down with us. And guess what? He says, I don't know why I feel like I need to tell you this. I want this baptism of the Holy Ghost with my prayer language. I said, I'm amazed that you just asked that. I says, I'll tell you what, you probably religionized it, thinking that you got to have some certain experience. Oh, yeah, people praying for me. They says, yeah, they were knocked over 3 chairs and came up in their prayer links. That's great for them, but that's not how it always works. I said, do you really want? He says, yeah. I says, you already got it, but you don't understand it. I says, and I told my wife, she set the breakfast table in Troy at a restaurant. I don't remember what type. And we go out into our little Citation. And I take him through the scriptures. It talks about, have you received this experience since you believe? And he said, no. Okay, the Bible says all you got to do is ask. It says, well, do you have to do a bunch of works to get it? No. Galatians 3 says, just by faith you yield to it. And then I took him to 19, Acts 19. They came upon the believers. They said, we didn't even understand there was another experience. So he taught them. And it says, they spoke, and the Spirit gave the meaning. Oh, you mean I don't have to try to come up? No, you're striving. Your head's getting in the way. This is purely by faith. I says, so I am going to prime your pump. I am going to start praying slowly in my prayer language. You imitate me. And then when you get to that place, just go off. Yes! So he asked for it. I said, Jesus is the baptizer. Remember, John says, I baptize you for repentance, but he who's greater than I, that I can't even unlatch his sandal, he will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire.
Right.
That's what he wanted. And I says, now, receive the Holy Ghost. And I begin to shakalamata. And he began, next thing I know, he's just blasting a language I've never heard. He about put his fist through my little Citation's roof. I'm telling you, he came alive. And I looked in the corner of my eye, and my wife's in there just having a good time. He says, I can't wait to get back to Detroit. He was a police officer on the streets of Detroit. And tell my prayer groups, I've got it. See, we try to figure it out with our head, and the Bible says no man understands it. Howbeit in the spirit, you're uttering the will of God. I'm telling you, if you've gotten slack and you're wondering why you're dealing with so many extra things, just yield to build up your most holy faith and pray in your prayer language. And I'm telling you, God did not come us for us to just go through the motions. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask you to dim the lights. I'm going to pray. I want everybody to close your eyes and focus on the Lord. I'm going to ask our Facebook group. If you've been disconnected or you're not plugged in, I'm going to ask you to get plugged in this morning. If Jesus Christ is not your Lord, that's the qualifier. Ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, and he will immediately. And then ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. Say, Jesus, baptize me in the Holy Ghost. I want to live for you for the rest of my life. And then yield to him. And ask to receive your prayer language. Thank you, Jesus. Father, right now, just church, raise your hands, eyes closed, and just begin to worship God in the Spirit. You may want to sing. Don't let your head get in the way. Father God, I thank you for filling my brothers and sisters. Thank you that you're no respecter of persons. Thank you for the fire of God that's on my brothers and sisters. And every voice that's connected today, there's a reason for you. And I thank God that you're going to cause that language to just, whoa, in Jesus' name, Lord. And Father, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And Father, we give you all the praise and the glory. And all of us in agreement said, amen. You powerful, connected men and women, love on one another. You are dismissed.